And Gary Foster, do you see the men that you see, are their needs different to women?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd see, and thanks, Nick, for describing, I think, some of the real pain and struggle that guys have in coming to see somebody, because just to get through the door is a huge step for a man.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense of ourselves, you know, I run groups, I run individually, and I see people, you know, speak to people on the phone and other places. What I'm aware of is so much of it is similar, you know, the hurt, the pain, the shame, the feeling with disassociation, receiving flashbacks, not being able to sleep. But again, in a sense, when you think about the gender stuff and men's experiences, men often will externalize stuff. So they might be, they'll be five times more likely to use drink and drugs, in a sense. Mm. That men also you're 10 times more likely to experience suicidal thoughts if you've been sexually abused. But we know that guys will act on that. So it's a very dangerous time for guys. We know that men, unlike women, will not have as many support structures. Typically, their partners will be the first person to hear about this. Because men often will actually feel more reluctant to talk to men, whereas women will be able to talk to women, experience support. Men will be worried about that, so what they'll do is they'll hold it in, and so it's their partners who receive support. And so there's differences there. There is the difference around sexuality. They will be concerned about that. They will be concerned that somebody will see them as offenders. So I know men who will not have relationships, will not change babies' nappies, not because they've ever thought of harming anybody, but because people would think that there's something, you know, dangerous about them because it has happened. They're dealing with that myth, and really we haven't really dealt with those myths at a public level, because we've focused on the, you know, the dreadful experience that women have of men's perpetration of sexual violence and assault on the women, and we haven't really dealt with the more complex issue of men sexually assaulting men, because it's a much harder one to deal with in many ways. And the reality is these guys aren't going to come forward. So, yeah, it is different, and I suppose that's the key about responses. We need to develop responses which attend appropriately to women and attend appropriately to women. That might be possible in the same organisation. Recognising that men actually, 60% of guys will prefer to talk about, I'm talking about usually Anglo guys, will prefer to talk with women about their experience because they see them as being more understanding. However, if it's concerning, you know, sexual difficulties, they often will prefer to talk to guys. Indigenous men, I know, really struggle with this, lack of resources and the way the Indigenous community is treated, or that those men have been positioned, has made it even harder for that group to come forward.
Nick, would you agree with that? Is that what you feel with the men coming to your organisation? That sometimes they would prefer to speak to a woman, or they prefer to speak, Indigenous men prefer to speak to a man like yourself?
Well, again, I think that's a lot of, it's about personal choice.
Yes.
I do agree with Gary that approaching men about issues, especially related to issues that relate to vulnerability, personal vulnerability, yeah, they may feel more comfortable expressing that to women, yeah.
Mm. Mm. And just finally, a question for both of you. Do you feel that this issue is starting to be talked more? Nick, particularly, let's say, North Queensland, is it an issue that people are starting to become more comfortable talking about?
Yeah, I think it is. I think we have a fair way to go in having that, as Gary said, having that public discussion to dispel those myths. As an example, there were a lot of fellas who we'd work with in the prison who'd experienced abuse as children, again, finding that space to be able to come forward.
Mm. Gary, do you think we are starting that journey?
Definitely. And what we're dealing with, the fact is, there's much more publicity. The publicity about clergy abuse, the publicity on media reports about cases around this stuff, we're talking more about it. And so one of the there's a double-edged sword, because in a sense this will be triggering off for those guys who have experienced abuse when it gets talked about, and then they'll start looking around for places to go. And the fact that Cairns is now looking to see men at that service, I think that's they should be absolutely commended, and it's a fantastic thing that they're doing. And I think we're just taking a small step. We are, look, we're 10, 20, look, Queensland's 10 years behind the other states at least, and we're at least 10 years again in relation to responding to men behind than responding to women, because we have set up some services, and those services do a fantastic job. We're now starting to do that. My sense, the next 5-10 years, we're going to hear more. Can I just, I'll tell you a story, just one short story.
Yes.
We had a mother who's rang us recently. She spoke about the fact that her her young son, her late teens, had recently disclosed sexual assault. And in telling that, she said that she was looking around for places to go, and she couldn't find anywhere for that to go. You know, she's 3 hours from us, but she was going to come up and see us. Then she said her difficulty was also that her husband had now just disclosed to her that he had also been sexually assaulted. This is a man that she'd been married to for 30 years, and she didn't know he'd also been sexually assaulted as a child. So there's a whole lot of difficulties where people bury this, try and deal with it, and in many ways they can get on with their lives in different ways, and for some men they can't, and it becomes quite overwhelming. But it has an impact not just on, you know, the person at the time, it's on the partner, the sense of trust, the relationships, and so it's in a sense, it's a cost for all of us. So these services are going to be really, really important going forward, because we don't want to deal with men's health in the way that we currently do, which is crisis, because guys don't come forward. And I'm aware that men's services, in a sense, when they do come forward, cost so much more than the women, because we're at the bottom of the cliff and it's all going wrong and they haven't got the support. So being proactive, putting funds in and doing this sort of work with those 340,000 Queensland men now is going to be really important, because in a sense we know the ongoing health costs of not doing this is going to be far greater.
Dr. Gary Foster, thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thank you very much for your time.
Dr. Gary Foster is from Brisbane's Living Well, and Nick Wamara is a general counsellor with Wu Chopperin Health Service. Nick, thank you for coming in today.
You're welcome.
Both Gary and Nick will be speaking next week at a seminar. It's called Lifting the Lid, and it's on at the Shangri-La in Cairns next Wednesday from 9 until 1. And just also to let you know that Family Planning Queensland Cairns Sexual Assault Service does see men if you do need to get in touch with them.